And once these feelings have a name, the next step is we can give them a home. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Narcissism Dakota. I'm your host, Dr. Anthony Mazzella. In today's episode, I'd like to address a series of listener questions that often echo a common sentiment. How does psychodynamic psychotherapy enhance one's quality of life and relationships? It's important to acknowledge upfront that there's no one-size-fits-all response to this question. The effectiveness of any treatment is deeply intertwined with the unique issues, symptoms, and individual characteristics presented by each person seeking help. For those of you who have listened to prior episodes, you may recall that in almost every episode, I discuss a treatment approach for that topic at hand. For someone overwhelmed with emotions, I may have advocated transforming persecutory thoughts into productive thinking. Additionally, I have discussed the punitive superego and malignant introject in depression. And finally, I have alluded to ego supportive techniques. And these are just a few of the approaches. Let's consider this scenario. Two individuals may both grapple with feelings of depression, yet the underlying nuances of their experiences will shape the trajectory of the treatment. In essence, the therapeutic process is tailored to the specific needs and circumstances of each individual and each different, and I quote, type of depression. In an earlier episode, I discussed various types of depression, each requiring distinct treatment approaches. Having said that, I can offer insight from a particular vantage point. Let's examine the case of someone facing challenges and maintaining meaningful connections. Perhaps you or someone you know might find yourself unable to forge genuine relationships due to deep-seated trust issues, their own inability to manage their anger, a pervasive fear of judgment and criticism, or a fundamental belief in the inherent danger of others. Once upon a time, we thought that we knew what improved relationships and quality of life. The goal was to make the unconscious conscious. Then the symptoms, such as depression or anxiety, the fear of being criticized and judged, would disappear. However, it was quickly discovered that even when made fully aware, like for instance, telling a patient, you are afraid you'll be judged because of whatever, some unconscious trend, which we would then label for the patient, what we discovered is the system persisted unshaken. Further research has demonstrated, again for some, not for all individuals, instead of having to deal with conflicts from the distant past, which are concerned with circumstances that are not necessarily actively alive in one's conscious awareness today, we first need to get involved and understand what is happening in actual and in immediate situations. But now, meaning right now, in the moment, you can try to bring about a different and a new solution instead of repeating the old, and I quote, maladaptive solution, which may have worked then, but no longer works today. Let's take a simple example of this, something I see frequently in my practice. Let's say you're angry at a loved one, a parent perhaps, or maybe your partner, because you don't like the way they speak to you. When you feel put down and devalued, you get angry at them, sometimes even full of rage over their condescending tone. So your feelings towards this person are naturally what? Aggressive. Oftentimes, if you, and I quote this again, already, right, feel angry and aggressive. In other words, if you are carrying around past anger or resentments, the next event will be projection of this aggressive feeling into the environment. The world begins to feel like a dangerous, threatening, judging, or critical place, or you project these feelings onto your loved one, who will now in turn appear to be aggressive, critical, judging, etc. But wait, you may be saying, my partner really is condescending. They talk down to me. Okay, so let me respond to that with a clear illustration of how psychodynamic psychotherapy works to improve this kind of relationship, which in essence will improve your quality of life. I'm going back to the initial question. If you're carrying around some inner anger, let's say you grew up with a father who constantly put down you or your mother, or you had a father who was critical and judgmental. And I'm just making this up, by the way. You could say a caregiver or somebody very important in your life. It doesn't have to be a father. But I quote, my dad would say to me, you're a piece of crap. You're stupid, worthless. You're nothing. You're not worth anything. You see, at that point, like I said, if it's a father or any important, powerful caregiver in your life, the main point is you were too young. So what choice did you have? You can never stand up to this person. So where did that leave you? You took the verbal abuse. Now today, many people believe that, well, that's done. It's over. That was a long time ago. And I'm over that. Or I don't care. And what does this have to do with anything today? But unless you had an enormous amount of resilience, most kids who grow up enduring this kind of verbal abuse carry with them, even to this very day, a feeling that may look something like this, quote, I'm not worth anything, unquote. And of course, this can take on many different forms and derivatives. Any negative way that one would talk to oneself could be a derivative of this earlier situation that I just described. In this example, we can say you are most likely carrying around these feelings, and it's precisely these feelings that oftentimes prevent you from getting what you want, such as a close, loving relationship or a good or high quality of life. How does this happen, you may be asking? Or why are you or someone you know so quick to get angry? Today, not like when you were a child, when the loved one is felt or is perceived, and I should put emphasis on is felt or is perceived as dangerous, hostile, critical, or destructive, this causes you to adopt an even more aggressive and destructive attitude towards them in self-defense. There's this old saying, the best defense is a strong offense. In my field, the field of psychoanalysis, we refer to this feeling, this perception, this conviction that someone is judging, criticizing, or doesn't care about you as the vicious projection, introjection cycle. And I'll break that down. In short, what this means, if you were ill-treated by an important and powerful caregiver and you have not yet worked through this and put it to rest, any number of things can become of this anger. For example, you may not even be aware of the anger. Remember what I said earlier. This was a long time ago. What does that have to do with today and with how I'm feeling now? Or you know you get angry and you overreact, but you either feel entitled to this anger, well, my wife did something stupid, or you don't know what to do with these intense emotions. You don't know how to process or work them over emotionally. Maybe you don't even know what I'm referring to when I say process the emotions and work them over. In other words, the emotions are in control of you. You are not in control of the emotions. Finally, You may not experience any anger, but everyone else is always angry or out to get you with their criticisms and judgments. In this scenario, it's possible that you ejected, or more commonly known, I think you'll be familiar with this concept, or you project the anger into the world or into the people closest to you. And if I may digress for a moment, this is actually a partial response to the question, how does psychodynamic therapy work? Before you can work through and process feelings, you must first accurately identify and label what you are feeling. Remember, I said a moment ago, it's one of the possibilities with the anger is you're not even aware that you're angry. When engaged in a therapeutic process, you begin to learn more about what you're feeling and therefore gain insight into the underlying dynamics shaping your experiences and behaviors. Okay, back to projecting your unknown or unnamed feelings. This gets the anger out of you, which is a relief to some extent. I should say a temporary relief, but it also then puts it on somebody else, perhaps a loved one. The problem with this solution is you are then left feeling that your loved one is angry, critical, judgmental, and is attacking you. When taken to an extreme, and I talked about this in an earlier episode, some people can't even leave their apartment. They can't leave their house because they're so convinced that people are watching, judging, or are angry at them. So, just a quick recap. Let's pull this together before we push forward. If you are carrying around an unusual amount of unresolved anger, through the process of projection, you eject this feeling, imagine, and actually become convinced that other people, a loved one perhaps, is attacking you in some way. As a defense against this attack, you become aggressive, causing your loved one to become aggressive and angry at you. This anger is then introjected. This is what you take in, since this is what now surrounds you. So now you take in this angry, critical voice, which, by the way, is already inside you. So now we see in this whole process, nothing has changed. With introjection, your inner world becomes populated with judging, hostile, persecutory objects, which then, of course, need to be projected again. Anyway, I think you can see how this goes around and around in an unrelenting way, but this is the projection, introjection cycle that I mentioned earlier. Your subjective experience of your external reality becomes further and further removed from objective reality. So, in terms of how psychodynamic therapy works and improves relationships, once we can recognize this pattern, this projective, introjective, vicious, destructive cycle, now there's hope. In my practice with these individuals, the goal now, in terms of this one type of because remember, I mentioned there are many different types of approaches. This is just one approach. So in terms of this one type of psychodynamic treatment approach is what? We must break this cycle. Why? So you could be less frightened of this inner conviction of badness and then therefore when projected of danger. Let's return to the example I gave earlier and see if we can apply this perspective on the destructive cycle. Remember, we left off with you saying, but wait, my partner is really condescending. They talk down to me. And that is why I explode with anger. When I closely explore the, quote, lashing out, unquote, and the explosion of anger, And when I remain curious and ask inquisitive questions such as, let's go over this again. Can you tell me, how were you feeling right before you lashed out? Again, using the words lashed out, I use their language. That's not my language. The feelings slowly begin to emerge. And I quote, I lash out so I don't feel inferior, dumb, so I don't look like an idiot. Unquote. In fact, it was only when these feelings emerged that I began to hear about that scenario that I laid out a little bit earlier when I said, imagine you have an abusive caregiver who said this to you. So in this particular example, it's only when I slowed things down and explored this with inquisitive questions that I began to hear another story about an abusive father who called her stupid and worthless. Now, to return to the point I made a little bit earlier, unknown feelings are beginning to emerge. See, we didn't hear anything about this earlier, but we had to start with the day-to-day interaction. What's immediately happening now? So at this point, what can we do? We can label and get to know these feelings of being inferior, dumb, or an idiot. And once these feelings have a name, the next step is we can give them a home. What does that mean? Give these feelings a home, you may be now wondering. The goal is to help this angry individual who can't control his or her emotions become aware that this anger is about the archaic fantasy object. Sorry, I use a little bit of psychoanalytic jargon, but this is the archaic fantasy object. And we call it an object, by the way, instead of a person, because it's no longer just about the person. It's a representation of the characteristics of a person, a caregiver, a loved one in your life that get exaggerated in your mind. And they represent somebody, but they're not actually the person. And that's where in psychoanalytic language, in part, the word object has many different meanings, but that's a piece of it. So what I'm saying, though, in essence, is this is not about the way a loved one spoke to you. Let me just say that slightly differently. To give the feelings a home, the first step is to begin to show somebody that this anger is about something else and not about your loved one. In part, it might be about them, but I'll say more about that in a moment. In my practice, when treating someone like this, I may show them how convinced they are that their angry reaction is because your loved one is accusing you or calling you a complete failure, an idiot, that you are worthless. I will acknowledge that it may be true that there is a part of this person that is not pleased with something that you just did, some way that maybe you just behaved. But there's also a part of you that brings back all your father's accusations. See, these accusations continue to live inside of you. When past trauma lives on and is not worked through, back to that concept from a little bit earlier, and part of working through now, you could see, is correctly labeling the feelings, identifying, labeling, and now we're giving them a home. Okay, that's all part of the working through process. But anyway, I was saying, when past trauma lives on and is not worked through, one wrong look, one insensitive comment ignites the entire past story. You immediately become convinced that your loved one is thinking all the things that your father said to you. Again, in this example, the father said this, but you can substitute this in your mind with any important early caregiver. So what is the old saying here? It's like a powder keg waiting to explode, or I think it's a tinderbox that just needs a small spark to ignite. To return to the original questions, what leads to an improved quality of life and healthier relationships? As you become aware of the projections, as you become more aware of how you are treating a real person, the love person in your life as an archaic fantasy object. You see, that's the way you're treating them. And that's what you start to become more aware of. Then as you become more aware of this, they become less dangerous. In other words, you begin to see them more clearly. If they are less dangerous, then you are less afraid. Remember what I said earlier about the best defense is a strong offense. And then therefore, you're less ready to ignite. You don't have to have such a strong offense if there's no threat or if the threat is much, much less. Anyway, look, we need to start wrapping this up. But I would conclude by saying that if you or, again, someone you know can become aware of the distinction between the archaic fantasy object, the abusive, insensitive, neglectful father, caregiver, if you can become aware of the distinction between the fantasy object and the real external love person in your life, this produces a breach in the vicious cycle. And that's all we need, is we need to just start chipping away at the cycle. In turn, your partner may become less reactive and more understanding because they are not under attack. And then this gives you the opportunity to take in, again, back to the word interjection, a less savage, judging, critical, hurtful experience. Now, by the way, I'm just going to digress for another moment. If your partner does not become less reactive, there's still something to be gained from this, because if you are not overreacting to the situation, then the focus becomes more on your partner. You see, as long as you're overreacting, intensifying things, then the focus is simply on, look at how crazy you're behaving, right? And we don't see, which I often advocate for on this podcast, is the dual contribution. In any matter, we could get more into that in a later podcast. But now, the main point is, if all this goes accordingly, we are now on the way to fostering a benign cycle. But to change the character of a person's inner belief system is easier said than done, and it requires time and effort. In other words, this is a process that we need to go over and over and over as you and a loved one slowly begin to sort out, or, you know, like what belongs to you, what belongs to your loved one, and what's coming from the distant past. Anyway, look, as always, this stuff I know is inevitably very complicated, and along the way, I may have said some things to confuse you. So please feel free to reach out. I always enjoy reading your comments. My email is below in the show notes. Let me know what questions you have or anything you'd like to hear more about. I would be happy to take that up in a future episode. All right. Until next time, engage your mind and not your archaic fantasy object. All right. Bye for now. Disclaimer alert. The Narcissism Dakota podcast is provided for general information purposes only. The content presented in this podcast is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any psychological condition related to narcissism. The content on this podcast should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. For specific advice pertaining to narcissism or any other psychological condition, you could reach me directly. I am an experienced mental health practitioner who is always taking on new patients. If you would just like a consultation, I can do that too.